Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Rachel Baylor continues our series, Peace and Pain, where we talk about pain in life and how Jesus is our source of true peace. Rachel talks about loneliness, how we all experience it, and how Jesus can relate to us in our loneliness and rejection. We look at Matthew 27, verses 45 through 50, and how Jesus is fully separated and abandoned by God on the cross. We talk about how we will never be separated from God since Jesus was for us, and how we can trust and have peace from that truth. We hope you enjoy this message.
Guys, can we give it up for our worship team tonight? I just think they do a great job every week, and a lot of times go unappreciated. So thanks, guys. If you guys don't know me, my name is Rachel, and I've been here on student staff for like a little over a year now. Last August, I started here. And yeah, I haven't gotten to talk to you guys in a while. I think spring was the last time. But yeah, I'm super pumped to get to talk to you guys tonight. And we are continuing our series on peace and pain. And we're going to be talking about loneliness tonight. Solid, right? We're all sitting here in a crowded room talking about loneliness. So when Matt first asked me to talk on loneliness, I was like, Matt, I don't really know about that. Like, I don't really see myself as a very lonely person. Is anyone extroverted in here? Yeah. Brooke, thank you, yes, thank you. Please. Any extroverts over here? Okay, a little bit. Introverts? Woo. Introverts unite? Wow, okay. So you guys, don't get a lot of energy from tonight, huh? Okay, so I'm very extroverted. I get super pumped on Sunday nights. I'm like, yeah, like JJ, we're like, yeah. We leave here and are like, we can't go to sleep now. Here we are. So I've always thought of myself as, like, not very lonely because I'm extroverted. And so I just love to have people all around me all the time. But that's not true. Like, I was thinking about it after Matt asked me, and I was like, okay, I'm trying to think about all the times that I've been lonely. And, yeah, I guess I've been lonely a lot, which is kind of sad. And so I was just thinking about it, like, if I feel lonely, and I don't even see myself as a lonely person, like, how do you guys feel? Like, I think we all have cases of loneliness, right? We all have those times. So I think that's why it's so important to talk about it, and I think that's what's so cool about it. Like, we can talk about depression, we can talk about anxiety, we can talk about suicide, but when it comes to loneliness, like, we've all experienced it. Like, we can all feel that. We can all feel that void of loneliness in our hearts. So I want to tell you guys a little story about me. I really love golden retrievers. Yeah. Brooke, okay, so that's my roommate, Brooke, over there. If you ever hear, like, the whoop, yeah, that's my roommate. She really wants us to get a golden retriever. It's not going to happen. I don't want to take care of it. But I do love golden retrievers. I've always had a golden retriever ever since I was little. And a lot of times in high school and in college, I would dog sit for my parents. Like, they'd be like, hey, can you just, like, come home this weekend while we go, I don't know, they go random places on random vacations. I'm like, just take me instead of having me stay home with the pets. But I have a golden retriever and a cat at my parents' house. So to give you a little intro to them, can you please play this video? This is my favorite video of them. Yeah, we'll just watch it, like, one more time. She kind of, like, cries in there. Yeah, so they love each other. They love each other. Yeah, that's my favorite video of sweet Ellie and Sadie. They're good. But, yeah, I just want to, I don't know, fun video. I love showing that video to people. The cat was not hurt in the making of that video. I just thought it was funny, so I took it. But, yeah, so one time I had to pet sit for them. And guys, I hate being home alone. Like, hate it. Like, I want to cry every time I'm home alone. I'm just sitting there like, oh my gosh, someone's, like, going to come and kill me. I don't know why that's always my first thought, but that's just my first thought, is, like, someone's going to, like, obviously come to my house in the middle of nowhere and just kill me. So that's my first thought every single time. And so one time I was home alone for this weekend, and the first night I was upstairs. I had locked all the doors. Like, I had locked the garage. I double-checked everything and went upstairs, like, turn the light off and then just, like, run up the stairs because, like, the boogeyman, I don't know, something's going to get you going up the stairs. And so I ran up the stairs and I was, like, getting ready, but I also, like, am, like, brushing my teeth and, like, checking out the door just to make sure, like, no one's standing in the hallway because I get super paranoid. And so I'm, like, just standing there, like, okay. And then I hear footsteps. I'm not joking. Like, I heard footsteps and I was, like, I'm going to throw up. Like, someone's going to come kill me. So, like, someone is in my house coming to kill me. And guys, this is like in the middle of nowhere in the suburbs of Charlotte, like Matthews, North Carolina, inside a neighborhood, like all the way down a cul-de-sac, like this house. No one's gonna come kill me. Like, not a big crime rate in Matthews, North Carolina. But I'm like, there's literally someone in my house, and they're just gonna kill me. That is my worst nightmare. So I hear these footsteps, and I like stand by the stairs, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so I like bolt into my parents' room and lock their door, and then I go into their bathroom, lock that door, and then I go into the little alcove where the toilet is, you know, like master bath, little alcove toilet, and I'm just like sitting like, oh my gosh, like, what's gonna kill me? So I call my neighbor, and I'm like, hey, are you home? And he was like, yeah, what's up? What's going on? I was like, I swear someone's in my house. Someone is in the house. And he was like, okay, like, I guess I'll come over. And so I like gave him the code to our garage and was like, just come on in. But you need to like check everywhere, like check under the couches, like they've hidden in a closet. Like they hear you coming. And so you need to like check everywhere. So I'm like still like on the phone with him, just like sitting like next to the toilet in this little toilet alcove. And he's like, I hear the garage open and like my heart is pounding. And I'm like, they're just going to come upstairs and knock down the door and kill me, like before he gets here, like before he gets inside. So I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like praying. And so Mr. Bo, God bless him, he helps me a lot. He comes and like checks the whole house and he's like, Rachel? I'm like, hey. I think I don't even think I opened my parents' door. I think I was like talking through the door and I was like, hey, is everything okay down there? And he was like, Rachel, literally no one is down there. And I was like, okay, all right. And so he offered for me to come sleep at their house. And I was like, no, like I'm 21. Like, I don't need to go sleep at my neighbor's house. Like, I need to be here with the pets. So I didn't. I just sucked it up and I just laid in my bed. And I think I probably cried a little bit. But he went home, locked all the doors. He was like, I seriously, like, if you get paranoid again, just like come on over. We have an extra bed. It's fine. And I was like, okay, well, thank you so much. I don't even know if I told my parents this. They probably like don't want me to stay home alone anymore. But the point in all of that is, long story short, it was my cat. It was my cat walking downstairs, just its little paws. Because Ellie, the dog, was upstairs with me. So I was like, I know it's not Ellie. But I hadn't seen Sadie, and so it was like her little paws. I'm pretty sure. No one knows for sure. You decide. But I did not get killed. Here I am, live to tell the story. But all that to say, I hate being home alone, and I would not have all this paranoia. I wouldn't have, like, all of these fears that someone's going to come and attack me and kill me in a random house in the suburbs of Charlotte if I wasn't home alone. Like, if someone was there with me, if my friend was there with me who probably couldn't fight off an intruder either, like, I wouldn't have been scared. I would have been like, oh, yeah, girl, we got this. Like, we're fine. But because I was home alone, I was like, I'm literally shaking with fear. Like, I don't understand what's happening to me. But I just hate it. And so I think there's like power in loneliness, you know? Like, does anyone like being home alone? Yeah, I figured. That's what happened in middle school last week too. I was like, what is wrong with you people? Like, that is not fun. It's not fun. I will say I don't mind being home alone like in the middle of the day. It's just the dark. I just hate the dark. Just hate nighttime. Not a good time for me. I get super paranoid. But if I hadn't been home alone, like, I seriously would have been fine. Would have been truly fine. So that's how that went. So I want you guys to think about loneliness, and I want all of you to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep, but just close your eyes real quick. I've heard I have a nice story time voice, so I'm not gonna tell you a story, but I just want you to close your eyes, okay? Everyone have your eyes closed? Stop if you have your eyes open, close your eyes. I want you guys to think of a time where you felt lonely. It could have been yesterday, it could have been a month ago, it could have been a few years ago. Okay, you got it? Time where you feel lonely? Okay, so keep your eyes closed. Think about, why did you feel that way? Why were you feeling lonely? Who did you want around you that wasn't? Like, obviously, you're feeling lonely, so you want people around you. Who wasn't around that you wanted around? What did you do in that loneliness? So think about, like, did you just sit there and scroll on Instagram for 3 hours? Did you send 35 Snapchat streaks at 11 p.m.? Did you play video games to feel like you were with people? Or did you just like sit and cry on your bed? Honestly, because I've been there. Or did you like maybe even read some Psalms praying to God that his peace would overwhelm you in that loneliness? Like, what did you do? What did you do in that loneliness? All right, open your eyes. Okay, so now you guys have all envisioned your own moments of loneliness, right? We've all got it. If you haven't, you'll probably think of it in this time. But I want to talk to you guys about some examples in my own life of loneliness. So I told you, I don't really see myself as a very lonely person, but I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, I think the common denominator is like big life transitions, which I haven't had a ton. Like that house that I was telling you about in Matthews, North Carolina, that is the house that I was brought home from the hospital to. Like I've always lived there. So the big life transition, the first one, was moving to college. So I've told a lot of the seniors this, but I cried the whole 3 hours down to Clemson because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't leave my dog. I can't leave my cat. I can't leave my parents. I can't leave my friends. Like, it was hard. It was really hard. I knew one person going to Clemson. One girl from my high school was going to Clemson, and that was it. I don't know. Everyone here goes to Clemson, but no one from my high school did except for this one girl. And so even though I was going to a place where I was going to be surrounded by people, I just felt so lonely. And then the next couple loneliness times that I could think of were like breakups with boyfriends. Felt super lonely. Like I had been like talking to this guy for like 4 years of my life. And then I was like, oh, psych, not talking anymore. That's weird. Maybe even like breakups with friends. I've been there too. Like I've had a breakup with a friend where we had been best friends for like 3 years and then nope, not talking anymore. Like that's really lonely. That's a weird time. And then the most recent one was moving here to Greenville. And it sounds kind of sad, and it was kind of sad. But when I moved here from Greenville, I had never even heard of Fellowship Greenville Church, which is weird. Like, I'd never heard of it. I went to Grace Church down in Anderson when I was at Clemson, and I took this job not knowing anyone here. I didn't know Matt, I didn't know Brentley, I didn't know Dallas, I didn't know Scott, I knew no one. I came here and interviewed and was like, this is terrifying, this church is huge. If you've never been here before, this church is huge, it's so big. My first day of work, I had to do a tour of the church and met all the staff and I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And I was living with a girl that I knew a little bit, but not really. The first time we met was moving in together. That was the first time we had ever met and so I was like, hey, what's up? And she was a great Christian girl, like, don't get me wrong, but she also wasn't home a lot. And so a lot of times, like last August, September, October, I would come to work, not know anyone. And like, yeah, we were getting to know each other. It's not like Matt and Dallas and them wouldn't talk to me, but we were getting to know each other. I didn't know them at all. I would go home either to an empty house or to a girl that we didn't really know each other at all. So we would just like sit and be like, how's your day? It was good. How's your day? And so I just like had a void of loneliness. Like, it was hard. And I don't know if you guys have been there. I don't know if you guys have had a big move or a big life transition, but it's hard. Like, there's no way around it. And I was just like, I don't know what to do because I know this is where the Lord wants me. Like, I know he wants me with, like, all of you guys, but I didn't know any of you guys. Like, I went to Epic and was like, I literally know no one. And it was terrible. But I really think that God had to put me in that season for a reason. Okay, that sounds super cheesy, but like, I really do. I think he had to put me in that season of loneliness for a reason. Like, I think that he had to take me out of my comfort zone in Charlotte. He had to take me out of my comfort zone in Clemson and like place me in this spot where like, I knew some people from Clemson, but like, we weren't together at all. And none of my best friends, all of them moved to Charleston for some reason. I don't know why. All of them moved to Charleston. My family lives in Charlotte still. Like, I call myself an orphan up here sometimes. Because I just like don't have, like I didn't have anyone. And so I think he had to put me through that season because I had never experienced it before. And so I found myself easily trying to cover it up. Like I would just go home and I would just like sit on Instagram and like scroll and be like, oh my gosh, it's been 2.5 hours. Like, what am I doing? How is there that much stuff to look at? Or I would like sit there and watch like 3 episodes of something on Netflix and be like, okay, I guess it's time to go to bed. Or I would be like, okay, who else can I ask to go to dinner with me? Who else can I ask to go to coffee with me? Like I would just try to cover it up. But I found myself still being lonely. Like it wasn't helping anything. And so it's not like I hadn't been spending time in the Bible, but I decided like, okay, Rachel, none of this is helping. So what should we do? Let's turn to God's word. Cause like you work at a church, like you know that truth, you know, like you know that that's where you should go when you're having a hard time. Like that's where you should go when you're feeling lonely. That's when you should go when you're feeling sad. That's where you should go when you're feeling happy. Like that's just where you should go. And so I just started spending all that time that I had that I was lonely with the Lord. And I started like really reading my Bible and really spending like quality time in the word. and really spending time like praying for friends, praying for community, praying for you guys, praying for my coworkers, just like really digging into that. And guys, I think that obviously God made us for community. Like, I'm the small group girl. Like, I like community. I like you guys being around people. God is part of the Trinity. Like, he knows community. That's what he wants. But I also think that sometimes we can get stuck in constantly being with people, you know, where you feel like overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, I haven't had like a minute to myself in like 4 years. And we just like constantly have people surrounding us and we don't know what to do when there aren't people surrounding us. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, I have to be with people, or I have to be texting people, or I have to be FaceTiming someone, or I have to be Snapchatting someone, or Marco Poloing someone. Shout out to Marco Polo. But I think it gets really dangerous when we think that that's what we have to do. I think it gets to a dangerous point where we're not turning to the Lord in that, where we're just like covering it all up, you know? Like, does anyone ever cover it up? Do you guys ever like find yourself just like playing video games for hours, just scrolling on stuff for hours? Like, that's where it gets bad. So I want you guys to think back to what you were thinking about with your eyes closed, okay? Think back to that time. And I want you to think about how you covered that up or how you dealt with it. Because I asked you that question, like, how did you deal with that loneliness? So I want you to think about how you did that. So what do we do when we're lonely? How can God help us in that? That's obviously why we're here, right? Like, we can dwell in this all night, but like, how can Jesus help us with this? So you guys don't have to turn this. It's going to be on the screen. But I want you guys to look at Hebrews 4:15. Dun, 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 dun. There it is. That's good. Okay, so it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So that's cool. Like, that's the truth, that Jesus is able to sympathize with us, with everything. Like, he's been there. He knows what we're going through. And that's super cool. Like, that's a truth that we need, right? Like, that's what we want to hear. But how can he feel lonely? Like, he's part of the Trinity. Like, he's God's son. How can he feel lonely? How can he feel like we felt? But I think loneliness points us right back to Jesus, because Jesus has felt this more than anyone. Like, you might not think that, but he's the one that's felt the ultimate loneliness, right? So I want to look at the crucifixion tonight. And this is when Jesus was fully abandoned. This was when he felt so much lonelier than any of us could have ever felt. So I want you guys to turn with me to Matthew 27, if you have your Bible. It'll also be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible, but I super encourage you to look at it in your Bible, because I think it's easier to follow, but it is on the screen for us. So we're going to start in verse 45, and we're looking at the death of Jesus. So this is like, he's like gone through his ministry, and then Judas betrays him, and you know, all that. Pilate's like, okay, let's crucify him. So he's gone through like all the mocking, all the beating, and now we are at the death of Jesus, okay? So verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." Okay, so pause. That's 3 hours of darkness. I already told you, I hate being home alone in the dark. That is 3 hours of darkness. Did anyone remember like the solar eclipse like 2 years ago? 2 years ago? Maybe? Solar eclipse? Yeah, that was like terrifying. That was darkness in the middle of the day, people. So this is 3 full hours of darkness. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filling it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out once again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. So that's it, right? Jesus died. That's the end. That's the end of it. That's the end of our story. And we're just looking at those couple of verses, but I want you guys to listen to it again. Just the quote from Jesus, his last words right here. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? He's crying out to his father, and he's questioning why God has abandoned him. If you don't know what forsaken means, it means abandoned. So he's like, God, why are you abandoning me? Like, all this has happened to me, and now you're just leaving me. And it doesn't even, like, talk about why God's abandoning him, right? Like, we have to study that. But he's asking this question, and that's his last question. And I think a lot of times we read about the crucifixion, we read about the death of Jesus, and we think about all the physical hurt that he's gone through. We think about all the times that he's been whipped, all the times that he is bleeding. Like, he got whipped almost to death, right? He has the crown of thorns that's pressed into his head that's making his head bleed. He literally has to suffer the worst death ever up on the cross, the worst death that you could imagine. And so we're like, oh my gosh, Jesus, like, you're going through this terrible pain, this terrible physical pain. But do you ever sit and think about, like, the emotional pain that Jesus was feeling on the cross? Do you ever think about his cry right here? The emotional pain that's coming from being fully separated from God. Like, he's up there on the cross dying, and God's abandoning him. Like, not cool, not cool, God. Like, why are you abandoning me in this time that I need you most? Like, I'm literally taking the world's guilt and sin on my shoulders, and you're literally abandoning me. You're just gone. My God, why have you forsaken me? So I think we need to remember that Jesus took the full separation from God when he was on the cross. Like, we deserved that. That's what we deserved. Like, we know that. Like, Jesus took on our sin, took on the sin that we deserve. But, like, he took on that full separation. Like, he had that close relationship with God. And it just got separated. Because that's what we deserve. And so I think that we don't think about that a lot. We don't think about the emotional pain that he felt of that. And so one cool thing to point out is that this is the only time ever in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus calls out to God without calling him Father. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that shows, like, that abandonment. That shows, like, that full separation, that he was forsaken for our sake. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like, he even said Father when he was teaching the disciples how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says Father. He says Father when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking his Father to give him another way. Like, we talked about that the other week. We talked about, he was like, Father, please take this cup from my hands. Like, please give me another way out. Please, Father. And so he calls him Father literally throughout the whole book of Matthew. Like, the whole time he's doing ministry. That's his Father. That's his Father. And now he feels that separation that he can't even call him Father. Like, that's like if you saw your mom or dad and you felt, like, so abandoned by them that you couldn't even look him in the face and call him Mom. You couldn't even look him in the face and call him Dad. You were just like, what's up? Like, we don't have that connection anymore. We can't even go there. And that full connection was broken. But the important thing about that, like, I'm standing up here talking about that, and you're like, okay, you're like, I get it. Okay, what's up about it? The cool thing about that is that we never have to experience that full separation from God because Jesus did. Like, he took that. Like, when you become a believer, when you start following Christ, you never have to worry about being separated from God because Jesus already took that. Like, he died for that. Just like he died for our sins, he died for that. Being separated from God. And so we never, never have to worry about that. And I think that's really cool to think about. Like, when you guys were thinking about being lonely, you never have to worry about being fully lonely from God, you know? And that's a really cool thing to think about. Like, okay, there's, like, loneliness of, like, being home alone. There's loneliness of, like, being at college, like, without any of your friends. There's loneliness of, like, moving somewhere new without any of your friends. There's loneliness of, like, you breaking up with your boyfriend, you breaking up with your girlfriend. And then there's, like, full separation from God. Like, Jesus wins. Jesus wins that competition. Like, there's no, like, he totally understands it, you know? He fully gets that. So Jesus felt that separation. He felt that loneliness from God that we'll never have to feel. But what he did also experience was loneliness of being separated from his friends. And that's something that you and I have to deal with here on this earth. You know? That might have been one of the times that you thought about was like, yeah, when my best friend, like, never invited me to their Halloween party. I don't know. Something like that. That loneliness of when that guy never called me back. that loneliness of when my parents just like left me at home alone and like didn't tell me what was happening, or that time that, I don't know, whatever it was, but we have to struggle with that. And I think what's really cool is that Jesus struggled with that too. Like, he gets it. He's the great high priest who can empathize with us, who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He gets it. Like, Peter denied him 3 times right before he died. That is terrible. Like, we just like gloss over that. Okay, Brooke, I'm using you for example. If Brooke over here, my sweet roommate Brooke, if someone went up to her and was like, hey, do you know Rachel? And she was like, no. I know, you would never do that, right? No, I don't know her. Like, 5 minutes later, hey, Brooke, do you know Rachel? No. Like, why do people keep asking me this? I don't know this girl. 10 minutes later, hey, Brooke, do you know Rachel? Like, do you know that girl with the curly brown hair? Like, do you know her? No, I literally don't know her. Like, stop asking me. I would be like, Brooke, girl, what is up with you? What is wrong with you? Like, that's, Peter denied him 3 times. That's like, okay, like, totally not friends with him anymore, you know? Like, that is abandonment by your friends. Judas betrayed him. That's literally the reason why he got killed. I mean, obviously it was in the Lord's plan, but Judas, like, literally was like, here, you can have my money if you, like, I'll tell you who it is, you know? Like, oh my gosh, that is terrible. And then when he's up on the cross, it says in Luke 23, verse 49, all those who knew him stood at a distance watching these things. So he's literally up here on a cross dying in the dark. God has abandoned him, and all of his friends are like over here just like, sorry, Jesus, like, we don't really know what to do about this. I mean, if that were me, I would be like, what the heck, guys? Like, maybe help me out. Maybe, like, cry. Maybe, like, come stand next to me and pray next to me. I don't know, if I was dying. That would be like you sitting in a hospital room dying and, like, no one, they're just, like, out in the hallway just, like, hanging. What? Like, that is not okay. He feels abandoned by God, and then he feels abandoned by his friends. And he took all of this on because of us. I think that's super cool. He took all of that on because of our sins. And he took all of that abandonment on so that we never have to feel that. And we might feel that here, like from our friends, but we'll never feel that from God. And so I think a really big thing to remember is that Jesus understands our loneliness. He knew rejection and loneliness, and that's what makes him perfect for understanding your rejection and loneliness, because he knew it. He gets it. He's been there. He's been rejected by God. He's been rejected from all of his friends. He had perfect unity with God the Father, and then it was broken because of us. Wow, ouch. Sorry. Sorry, Jesus. Like, sorry you had to go through that. But how amazing. What great news. Like, we never have to be there. We never have to be there. And that loneliness that you experience, he fully endured that loneliness and separation from God that we never have to. And so, how does that help us? You're probably like, okay, Rachel, get it. All right, got the point across. I get it. But how does that help us? Like, how does that help you with the loneliness that you're feeling, or the loneliness that you have felt, or the loneliness that you're gonna feel next year when you go to college, or next year when you switch schools, or whatever it might be? How is that gonna help you? I think that the fact that we can feel that peace from Jesus is enough. Matt talked about that peace from the Spirit of God last week, that peace that is always there with us. And we talk about it. Does anyone know the word Emmanuel? Emmanuel. It's getting closer to Christmas time. I don't know why we really only talk about it at Christmas. I mean, I know it's like God with us in baby form. But like Emmanuel, God with us, like he came to be with us. And he brings that peace in the pain of loneliness. Like he brings it for us. And so even when you are feeling left out and overlooked by others, you can know that you are chosen and handpicked by God. He's right there with you. When you feel lonely because you feel like you don't have a best friend, when you feel like you don't have any friends at all, I know there are people in here that don't even feel like they have any friends. Even when they come here, they're like, I don't know who to sit next to. I have no idea. Or you don't have a boyfriend, or you don't have a girlfriend, or you don't have a family that like really cares about you, and you see everyone else having all these people, and you're like, what's wrong with me? Instead of wallowing in that loneliness, guys, I think there's a solution to that. I think instead of just scrolling on Instagram, instead of just like sending out a bunch of Snapchats, instead of just playing video games, I think we need to bring it to God. I think that's the big thing that we have to do. I need to do that. Like, I feel lonely a lot of times, and I need to bring it to God. And I don't think God ever wants us to feel lonely. I don't think he wants that for us at all. Like, he wanted to give us the gift of Jesus so that we never have to feel lonely, you know? Like, he doesn't want us to feel that loneliness. But he does understand that loneliness more than you ever will. Remember, like, he won that prize. Jesus won that prize. He gets it. He gets it. And he doesn't want us to feel that. And so I want you to know that Jesus understands. Like, if you don't hear anything tonight, Jesus understands what you're going through. He understands your loneliness. He understands the times that you will be lonely. And that same Spirit of God is always with you when you're a believer. And even when you're feeling lonely, even when you don't feel like people are around you, like sitting there and remembering, okay, God is within me, God is with me. That brings peace. That brings a lot of peace. And there will be seasons where you'll feel like God is distant and isn't with you. Like, I promise. I hate to make that promise to you, but I promise there will be. There will be seasons like that where you're going to feel like, okay, literally not feeling God at all. I'm not feeling the love of people around me. I'm not feeling the love of God. And it really stinks. And I've been there too. But I think remembering that truth, remembering that promise that Jesus is with us and that he wants to bring peace in the pain of our loneliness. And we live differently when we understand that Jesus lives, that he understands. We live differently when we understand that Jesus understands. God brings us into his family. Like, we're all here because we're community believers, right? We're part of this church because we're community believers. And so I think that's what we need to do, is bring people into that community. And finding peace in the middle of that pain will help us invite others in, right? And so I want to challenge you guys this week to look around you. Look at the people, even here tonight, that are sitting by themselves, that just like leave right after because they don't have anyone to talk to. I want you guys to look for people at your school that are sitting alone at the lunch table that don't have anyone to sit with. I want you guys to look at the people at sporting events that just like go home alone. They don't have anyone coming up to them and are like, good job. Good job, Michaela, on that win. That was awesome. Like, I want you guys to look at those people. I want you to look at them differently. I want you guys to see how they feel. And you can be there for them. Like, you can help them understand this peace. You can help them understand, like, hey, guys, you feel lonely sitting here at lunch, but I want to bring you in, and I want to tell you about this peace that I feel when I'm lonely, because I get it. Like, I've been there, too. And it's, again, it's something that we've all dealt with. We've all dealt with loneliness. And so why not bring others in? Why not, like, tell them, like, hey, I've been there too. But hey, I have this awesome God that's with us. Like, Jesus is with us. He gets it. He gets it. And when we believe this ourselves, I think it's easier to bring that peace and joy to others. And so I want you guys to know that God is with you and he wants you to feel his presence. He doesn't desire for us to be alone. If you feel alone, I want you guys to come talk to me. I want you to talk to Matt. I want you to talk to Brentley. I want you to talk to Dallas. I want you to talk to your small group leader if you're feeling alone. We don't want you to feel that way. Like, literally, our three things are belong, believe, become. Do you know why the first one's belong? Because we want to create belonging here. Like, we want you guys to feel like you belong here. Because that's what Jesus desires for you. He doesn't want you guys to feel alone. Like, he wants you guys to feel loved. He wants you to be cared for. He wants that for you. And so if you feel alone, like, seriously, please talk to someone. And I'm sure all of you guys can think about someone at school, at your homeschool co-op, in your sporting events that feel alone. Like, it's out there. And I want to challenge you guys with that. And so let's live in the peace that we're not alone and trust that we never will be. Live in that peace that you're not alone and trust that you never will be. Okay? Let's be open about our loneliness and create a belonging, a place where people can come and not feel lonely here. That's a really big deal. Guys, I feel that. I was just talking to someone on staff the other day about, like, it's even hard for me, and that's part of my job. I'll see someone, like, sitting alone in a chair and be like, okay, I should probably go talk to them, but I don't want to because I know it's going to be an awkward conversation. Like, I know it's really going to be an awkward conversation, but, like, the Lord is like, okay, Rachel, I have given you community. I've given you myself, and so you need to go after that person. Like, you need to go after that one. You know, reckless love, like, he leaves the 99 for the one. That's what we have to do too. Like, if we're gonna be true followers of Jesus, we have to go after that one. Okay, we're going back to the eyes. Are you ready? I want you guys to put your journals away, your Bibles away, your phones away. Put them just all under your seat. All under your seat. And I want you to close your eyes. Just sit alone. Don't talk to anyone. Just close your eyes. And I want you to just sit. I want you to just sit in the awkward silence with the prayer keys in the background. And I want you to take time to pray to God. Whether you've prayed earlier today or you haven't prayed in like a week or a year, I want you guys to take time. I'm going to give you some things to pray about. The first thing, pray thanking Jesus for knowing how we feel and being there with you in your loneliness, whatever it is. I want you to pray over the hurt that's in your heart from loneliness. What hurt do you personally have from loneliness? And I want you to pray over the lonely times that are to come and that you'd be able to invite God into that. And I want you to pray that the Spirit would open your eyes to those that are lonely around you. That God would use you to show them God's peace and His love and the family that He brings. Just sit in it. Just sit in it for a little bit. Lord, I want to thank you for understanding our loneliness. God, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that He understands it. Thank you that we can go to Him when we don't even understand why we're lonely. God, thank you that we have all experienced loneliness. That seems weird to pray about, but thank you for that so that we can come together and talk about it. Lord, I pray that this would be a community of belonging. Lord, I pray that you would just prick our hearts, Holy Spirit, to just talk to the people that feel lonely, that we can tell are just sitting by themselves, just twiddling their thumbs, Lord. They're your favorite person too. And so God, I pray that you would help us be people that create belonging, people that bring others in. And God, I just pray over all of these students, all of these leaders. God, I pray over the hurt that's come from loneliness. God, I pray over the hurt of friendships, the hurt from relationships, the hurt from hurt families, broken families. And God, I pray for the hurt that's to come because we know it's coming. But God, I pray that you would remind us that you're always there with us. That you're the Prince of Peace. That the Spirit of God is within us. So God, thank you for that truth. And Lord, I pray that we would live differently because you understand. You get it. You really do. And we're super thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for understanding our loneliness. In your name I pray, amen.